What's cracking, everybody? I'm Nathan Webb.
And I'm his brother, Kyle Webb.
And you're tuning in to Season 2 of our podcast, Two Brothers and a Review.
Every Monday, Nate and I get together and we review movies.
And for this season, it's specifically horror movies.
Don't forget, we'll have an occasional new release.
That's right, I'm still trying to avoid the new Jackass movie. We will provide you with researched facts, our opinions, and my personal favorite,
Trope, there it is!
So make sure you visit us every week at noon. Let's jump right into this episode.
Let's do it.
Please, sir, all I need is 5 minutes.
And I told you, Campbell, no more paranoid on-air rants about the supernatural.
I know. This station is about sex, violence, and the weather.
Yes, that reminds me. We're going to need that porn star shot dead in a hurricane story. 1 hour.
All right, for this week in movie news, we are recording this earlier in the week, so the box office numbers and other news that I would normally report at this time is the same as it was when I reported it for the top 10 on Monday. Therefore, I will just give a quick rundown. Top 5 movies at the box office for the first week of December in order are Encanto, Ghostbusters Afterlife, House of Gucci, Christmas with the Chosen, The Messengers, which I still don't know what that is yet, and Eternals. The current top 5 domestic box office movies for the year in order are Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, Venom Let There Be Carnage, Black Widow, F9 The Fast Saga, and Eternals. 3 of those are Disney movies, and 4 of them are superhero movies. Several movies are going to be released tomorrow, December 17th. As we are recording this Friday, December 16th, Thursday, including 2 big ones, Spider-Man No Way Home and Nightmare Alley. By the time this episode is available, we will already know how they did for the weekend, so make sure to tune in for next week's movie news to find out. And then lastly, to put in movie news, I've been promising to update our Season 2 body count. So here's Johnny. I wanted to have you say that, and I forgot to tell you, so I said it instead. But yeah, here we go. We got the updated body count. Only using the killer or killers of the movie and not including suicides unless as a specific result of the killer. The kill counts do include both on- and off-screen kills, and it's according to multiple fan and movie news websites. So here we go. The kill count is as follows. Halloween kills... Michael Myers kills 24 people. Now, I did go back and watch some other things to verify that because I saw a couple places that it was 27. I saw a couple places that it was 21. I obviously did not rewatch the movie, but mainly the main sources that I found, it all unanimous saying it was 24 kills. So, Halloween kills, Michael Myers killed 24. Halloween, Rob Zombie's Halloween, Michael Myers kills 22 people. Antlers, the Wendigo, kills 5 people. Saw, Jigsaw kills 6 people, even though Jigsaw himself doesn't kill them, but he's getting the 6 kills. House of 1,000 Corpses, the Firefly family as a whole killed 14 people. I didn't feel the need to break it down to each individual person, so we're going with Firefly has 14. I'm excluding I Spit on Your Grave and Get Out because the villains all die and they don't really kill anyone anyways. I'm also excluding Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City for similar reasons. So that's the last time I mentioned those 3 on our kill count. And then lastly, Silence of the Lambs. Buffalo Bill kills 3 people and Hannibal Lecter also killed 3 people. Michael Myers obviously is currently winning the kill count race with a combined total of 46 people killed. what a great time to update the kill count, though. So now it's time to find out how Ghostface did.
Sounds good to me.
All right, that's it for this week in movie news.
Hell yeah.
If you were the only suspect in a senseless bloodbath, would you be standing in the horror section?
It's just a misunderstanding. He didn't do anything.
You're such a little lapdog. He's got killer printed all over his forehead.
Okay.
Really? Why'd the cops let him go, smart guy? Because obviously they don't watch enough movies. This is standard horror movie stuff. Prom Night Revisited, man.
Scream is a 1996 American slasher film directed by Wes Craven and written by Kevin Williamson. The film stars David Arquette, Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, Matthew Lillard, Rose McGowan, Skeet Ulrich, Jamie Kennedy, and Drew Barrymore.
In summary on the back of the case, a crowd-pleasing smash hit with a sizzling cast. Critics are calling Scream the hippest thriller of the year. After a series of mysterious deaths, a seemingly peaceful community becomes a place where no one is safe and everyone is suspect. That's when an offbeat group of friends rally to unlock the town's deadly secrets and get caught up in a lively mix of thrills, chills, and surprises. Scream is rated R for strong graphic horror violence and gore, and for language. Wes Craven actually had to re-edit the movie 8 times to avoid an NC-17 rating from the MPAA. The movie runs for a total of 111 minutes.
With between $14 and $15 million for the production budget, Scream has a lifetime box office gross of $173 million. Principal photography began on April 15th in various places in California, with several disputes over the locations, including the use of a school, which they ended up not having permission to film at and had to use a community center instead. I believe I read somewhere extra stuff. What is it called? Extra features?
Mm-hmm.
Special features. On the DVD and Blu-ray and whatnot, Wes Craven gives a no thank you, basically, to the school board that refused to let them film at that school.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it ended up working at the community center, obviously. In the beginning, when Casey, played by Drew Barrymore, when Casey's parents hear her choking on the phone, Casey's dad says, listen, I want you to drive to the McKenzie's house and call the police. In the movie Halloween, Laurie Strode tells the two little kids that she is babysitting to walk over to the McKenzie's house and call the police. This is one of many mentions of other horror movies. I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but trope, there it is. Freddy Krueger, Silence of the Lambs, Psycho, Leatherface, and Carrie are among others that got a shout out in one way or another. So I definitely appreciate that.
Billy, his last name in the movie is Loomis.
I actually have that in there. Nice. Yep.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yep. Staying on the same subject, when Sydney, played by Neve Campbell, and Tatum, played by Rose McGowan, are talking on the porch, Sydney says, if I'm wrong, that means a killer may be out there. Tatum replies, don't go there, Sid. You're starting to sound like some Wes Carpenter flick. Okay, so this was an inside joke about the film's director, Wes Craven, because Craven has joked about how people always confuse him with Halloween's director, John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be some Wes Craven, some Wes Carpenter flick. it's neither confirmed nor denied if Billy Loomis is the son of Dr. Loomis. I said I had that in there already, so I'm sure the Carpenter thing has something to do with it. Page one, done. All right, one more thing about Wes Craven, and then I'll move on. He makes a cameo as the janitor dressed as Freddy Krueger. Another trope, there it is.
Yeah. He started talking about Freddy Krueger, and then he goes, not now, Fred.
Yeah. Matthew Lillard was cast as Stu Mosher. I don't know how to say the person's last name. It's irrelevant. Stu in the movie. But he was cast by chance. He was accompanying his then-girlfriend to an unrelated audition taking place in the same building when the casting director, Lisa Beach, saw Lillard in the hallway and asked him to audition for the part. Thank you, Mrs. Beach.
Yeah.
Something that's near and dear to my heart. K&B Effects created over 50 gallons of fake blood, normally composed of corn syrup and food dye, to create the visual effects of the severe wounds. I love me some special effects and gore, so, you know. And then lastly, all I want to say for facts, and we can get into the opinions, Rose McGowan was so small when she was in the pet door, she kept falling out. They had to nail her shirt to the inside of the garage door to prevent her from falling out. She later showed that she was bruised up all the way from her torso and her inner arm from hanging in the door for so long. She said several hours. Yeah, so she was hanging there for several hours and it left bruises on her. But she kept falling out, so they had to nail her shirt to the garage door. That's just a little inside the movie kind of thing I wanted to throw in there. So, besides the Loomis remark that you made, is there any other facts that you may have picked up on that you want to add, or you just want to go ahead and get to the opinions?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't have any other facts. That was just something like that I picked up on. Like, his name is Billy Loomis in the movie.
And yep.
They're constantly talking about Michael Myers. There's, you know, just...
so many references to...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
It's a trope movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little worried because when I walked in, your buddy, I'm going to give him a shout out, Josh Good, he watched it with you, and we were talking about him possibly sitting in on this yeah. review, but apparently he is not a very big fan of the movie, which worries me that you also will not be after ranking it number one on your top 10 list. So we'll see. Let's go ahead and get into opinions and find out.
Sounds good to me.
That's a matter of opinion, and I don't give a fuck about yours.
All right. Before you give me your opinion, I do have just one question to ask. In the first two death scenes, okay, off screen, the victims are gutted. But there's not enough time for that to have happened. So what is your possible explanation to how they were gutted so damn quick? Now, we later find out there are two killers in the movie, but still, that was some extreme gutting.
Yeah.
Especially when Casey, what is Drew Barrymore's character's name?
Casey Becker.
Casey? Okay. Mm-hmm. Especially when Casey gets hung up. Like, well, really, the boy too. They're too quick. So what is your explanation on why the gutting was so, or how the gutting was so fast?
Yeah, it was going to be that there's two of them, you know, like,
oh,
that's really all I can think of. I mean, the boyfriend, the only thing I can think of is as soon as they turn off the lights, they start working
that's
on
him.
But with Casey, is like, they're dragging her away, and then, like, they go inside. I mean, you know, it's just a time drop kind of thing. It could be like they were in there a little longer than
you expected. There was no explanation for a time lapse, but yeah, but yeah. That's one thing that did immediately bother me. I'm like, damn it, come on, Scream, come on, Wes Craven, but
Wes Carpenter,
Wes Carpenter, yeah, that, eh. Then there was one other thing that I was going to ask, and I forgot what it was now. So go ahead, let's start hearing some things that...
I can say right off rip that I've never really been a fan of Neve Campbell. Like, okay. She's just, I mean, not in her acting, just like her looks. I just never thought she was really that attractive. Obviously she was younger in this movie, but it just... I don't know. Like, for me, you know how I feel about Drew Barrymore, so... Yum. Drew Barrymore, and okay. then Rose McGowan, the one that played Tatum. I thought Rose was, like, she has, like, an innocent, like... It was, like, it was a weird, like, attraction.
Okay. All right, well, since you mentioned your girl, Drew, I'm not a fan of short-haired Barrymore. Yeah. That's one, I mean, I don't like short hair, and... in the first place. Apparently it was a wig. But I think I'm mixing Scream and Scary Movie up, though, because I thought Barrymore was wearing something more revealing when she was running away from Ghostface.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out she was wearing a fucking sweater, to my disappointment.
Yeah.
It's Carmen Electra in Scary Movie, right?
Yeah.
And isn't she just wearing a brawl or something?
Yes.
Okay, see, I'm obviously mixing those two up, but... come on, Drew Barrymore, let's at least a tank top, but that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one thing that was, like, bothering me, like, you know, like, I could see if maybe, like, Gail Weathers was, like, the prude, you know, like, Courtney Cox is gorgeous, so, like, you know, like, but, like, the one that don't look that great, like, I mean, I guess you could be a prude because you can hold out until...
So, oh, you're talking about Neve Campbell. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like her bangs. I'm a big hair guy. Like, that's the first thing I normally notice about a woman. And things like the bangs, I've never liked that. Her face, though, I think she's got a really pretty face, and she's got a nice body. I don't want this to turn into what season one was, where we
are just talking about sex,
talking about boobs and sex and stuff. But it's something that needs to be addressed slightly. I think she's pretty. Just her bangs bother me. But to me, the prettiest girl in the movie is Courtney Cox. I've always been infatuated with Courtney. So my boy David Arquette. You go, boy. But, okay, Rose McGowan, I'm kind of what you said about Neve Campbell. Like, I don't think her face is pretty. She looks like a goblin to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her body, yes.
Yeah.
Best body in the movie. But her face, I would have rather, I don't know, did a switcheroo there, put somebody else's face on it.
Yeah.
That's terrible. But as acting-wise, if we're going back to just acting, I like all their acting. I think they were all good. They made me feel like they were actually teens.
Yes.
Like, they did good dressing them up and the way they were acting. That was all. The only one that I was questioning as far as teen was Billy. Ulrich?
Lewis.
Yeah, Skeet Ulrich. He was the only one I was like, yeah, he's passing as a teen, but...
Yeah. Maybe a dude that was, like, just failed out of high school kind of thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, maybe.
But, I mean, nowadays, shit, like, I'm fucking 12-year-olds with, like, a 32. Yeah.
Sorry. People who are listening, obviously, we're looking at the cast, so just in case we do forget things, we can look up. And I just noticed Kristen Bell. What role did she play?
I don't know.
Can you click on it? We'll tell you. I don't remember her being in that movie.
She might have been, like,
Maybe.
A background extra or something. I don't know. It doesn't say.
Darn, I'm gonna have to figure it out, because I'm actually a Kristen Bell fan.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, maybe she was backup.
Yeah.
Scene somewhere. Okay. Well, him too? Really?
Yeah.
He's Cotton. Okay. That's right.
That's why I said, like, you don't get to see much of him, but, like, when they showed him, I was like, oh shit.
He's more dominant in the later stream movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cotton Weary. If you guys didn't know.
Yeah.
Who we're talking about. I mean, there's a bunch of them. Like, Heather Graham. Like, there's... If you Google Scream and then click on cast and view more, it says there's a lot of people, like Heather Graham, and, like, there's just a bunch of names, but they don't say what they did. So I'm wondering, like...
It might have just been extras. Because, like, underneath it says Randy Meeks, Cottonware. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they probably were just... Wow. Okay. All right, moving on. Sorry. I just saw Kristen Bell's face, and I was like, wait a minute. Oh, Jerry O'Connell, too.
Yeah.
What is Jerry O'Connell?
Maybe it was a TV show that they did. I don't know.
Okay. Either way. Hold on. Scroll down. Maybe this is from all of the screams, because Anthony Anderson.
Yeah.
I would have recognized. I don't know. We'll do more. I'll personally just figure it out later. It's not that big of a deal. Sorry. One person that is in the movie that has a little small role is the principal. Do you recognize what he's from? It's an older television show.
I don't remember.
You ever seen Happy Days?
I never watched it.
Okay. He plays the Fonz. You've heard of Fonz. Okay, Henry Winkler. That's who plays the principal.
I know him from Little Nicky.
Oh, yeah, he's in a few episodes.
I give you Henry Winkler, covered in bees.
But, anyways, the reason I brought him up is the principal is a very weird man.
Yeah.
Like,
when he's, like, rubbing her and stuff.
Right, okay, so, good, I'm glad you brought that up. We were talking about when he touches Sydney's face in the office after they call her, yeah. He touches her face, and then shortly after that, he makes that announcement over the loudspeaker, and he starts it off with, remember that your principal loves you.
Yeah.
What the fuck? This man is a weird motherfucker. Yeah. Aside from when he's playing with the scream mask and all that weird shit. But that was just... I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Did you pick up on the misdirection that Wes Carpenter... I almost said Wes Carpenter. That Wes Craven pulled on us?
Which one?
Well, this... this one was an intentional misdirection. The scene where Sheriff Burke and Deputy Dewey are talking when he's smoking and Dewey's got the ice cream cone. Okay, they put like emphasis on the sheriff's boots, which just so happens to be the same exact type of boots that Ghostface is seen wearing.
Oh.
So Wes was trying to make the audience think, okay, the sheriff could possibly fucking be Ghostface. I wish that I would remember what I thought when I very first watched this movie. Because watching it now, I knew who the killers were.
Yeah.
But when I very first watched the movie, I obviously didn't. I wish I could somehow remember, like, did that misdirection fool me? Because it probably did. I probably, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's the fucking sheriff. But.
Yeah, he's like, I thought you quit.
When he's smoking cigarette. Yeah.
That's what's funny is, like, when he said, I thought you quit, I was like, wait, did I just miss something? Did he, like, quit the police? I was like, no, he quit cigarettes. Like, it just caught me off guard, kind of, but.
As he's just casually licking away at that little ice cream cone of his. I love Dewey. I love Arquette in the first place, but
my main problem with watching this movie is just like you said earlier with the Drew Barrymore thing, is it, even Josh said it to us, is a Scary Movie copied most of their movie from Scream. It wasn't like all the other Scary Movies where they kind of had a bunch of movies out of
it. Yeah, they closely spoofed and parodied. Yeah, because, I agree.
Because the one dude's name is Officer Doofus. And the part where he runs, when Ghostface calls Sydney at their house, and he comes out, and like has his gun, and he picks up the phone, I laughed at that. Because on Scary Movie, he comes out with a vacuum cleaner and a boner. And it's like, what? Like, but it's really hard focusing on a movie when it's so, obviously this movie came out first, but it's like,
yeah,
you know, the spoof kind of made an impact.
Right.
But yeah. This movie, like I said before we started like recording the podcast, is this was more of a trope movie where they were talking about the tropes throughout the whole movie. And, like, saying, if this was a scary movie, you know, like, stuff like that.
We're doing it again. We don't talk about this whatsoever. You don't see my notes. And we don't talk about how we're going to go about this. We just come in here, we look at each other, we say we're ready, we hit record, and we go.
Yeah.
Recently we did the same thing. You were just segueing right into what I was about to say, or I was doing the same thing to you.
Yeah.
You're talking about it's a trope movie, okay? Obviously, Jamie Kennedy's character, Randy, is a horror movie expert, mm-hmm. right? But he's also the trope man of this movie.
Yes.
He mentions a few indirectly, and even at one point, when he's talking to Stu in the movie store, he says, the dad's a red herring, it's Billy. He, of course, is right, and I just love that he outright mentioned a fucking trope like red herring.
Mm-hmm.
Also, something else kind of funny with Kennedy. The scene where Ghostface is standing behind him, about to kill him. He's watching Halloween, right?
Yeah, he's saying, behind you.
Well, yeah, he's not just saying behind you. He's saying behind you, Jamie, because he's calling Laurie Strode by her actress name, which is...
Jamie.
What's her last name?
Crap.
Oh, my God. Why am I not... Whatever. That's irrelevant. He's saying
Jamie
behind
Lee
you,
Curtis.
Jamie, there you go. He's saying behind you, Jamie. His name is Jamie, so he's essentially saying...
Yeah.
I wonder if that was intentional or not.
It's, you know, that part of the movie is funny. Like, whenever they're showing, like, Ghostface going through the... Or, like, her going through the house, and you hear the Michael Myers, the Halloween music playing. Like, I laughed, because in my head I'm like, damn, this is a good way to not have your own music for the movie. You can just use other people's movies for your music.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like... That whole trope area where he's like he stands, he pauses it and tells like pretty much the beginning of our tropes section,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that whole part I think is like one of the most iconic parts of this movie in my opinion, like the part where he goes, he's like says like the three things and he's like, and you know, don't say, well, I'll be right back, and then Matthew Lillard's like, you want a beer? He goes, yeah. He goes, all right, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
It's like I literally do that to people all the time. and no one ever gets it. And it's funny because, like, that goes back to this Scary Movie thing. I was like, did I get that from Scary Movie or Scream? But watching this, I'm like, it was from Scream, not... It was right. from the original, right. so...
This isn't in my notes, but I do remember seeing it somewhere since we're talking about it right now. Jamie Kennedy was cast as Randy because he made Wes Craven laugh. And then the other thing, Skeet Ulrich, who plays Billy Loomis, he didn't realize until the ending of filming, I guess, that the movie was not a straight horror movie. It's a horror, I forget how it's worded, but it's like a horror comedy, kind mm-hmm. of. Like, so there's satire and that kind of stuff in the movie. Not yeah. like Scary Movie, which is a complete spoof, funny movie. But he didn't realize it until the very end. So he was, in all his roles, he was trying to be as serious as possible. Mm-hmm. And he actually asked Wes Craven, why are Jamie and Lillard not taking this serious? And that's when he found out that yeah. it's not a straight horror movie. So I just want to bring that up since we were talking about it. But 100%, I agree. I love those little bits, especially with those two.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of those two, do you want to go directly to favorite character?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. You could probably guess what my favorite character is, but what is your favorite character?
Is your favorite character Matthew Lillard?
Of course my favorite character is Matthew. Okay, it's a toss-up between Stu and Randy, which is Matthew Lillard and Jamie Kennedy. If I character-wise, both of their characters, I love their characters. If I had to decide, like you said, no, you only get one, I'm going to choose it off of the fact that I am a huge Matthew Lillard fan, mm-hmm. so I'm going to give it to the character of Stu. But it's, in all reality, it's Randy and Stu together. I loved
yeah.
their chemistry on screen and also their separate parts when they were yeah. so.
Matthew Lillard is my favorite in this movie just because of, like, just his demeanor. Like, him being funny in the whole movie and, like, just how he is. Like, it's a horror movie, but he makes you feel easy about it. Like, and then, like, when he, like for instance, when she finds out that Billy is the killer and she goes in the kitchen and Matthew Lillard's standing right there, instead of, like, being, like, serious about it and, like, holding her, he, like, just stands there like a rock. And it's just, like, the way he does it is just fucking hilarious. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Like, the same thing, we're not this review, but the same thing in 13 Ghosts. Mm-hmm. His character, it's a horror movie, and he's serious when he needs to be serious, but mm-hmm. he also, his comedic timing is great. So, yeah. Matthew Lillard, A+, absolutely, I agree.
I'd be interested to know, like, how many things, like, Matthew Lillard or Jamie Kennedy actually ad-libbed to the movie.
He did it again.
You have, like, a...
I do. Well, we got... We'll skip the favorite line, because it's a perfect setup. I'll start with mine. After Stu asks Sydney if she really called the cops, and she tells him that she did, he then says, "My mom and dad are going to be so mad at me." Okay? Yeah. I already liked that line, but when I was doing my research, I found out that he ad-libbed that fucking line.
Oh.
That line is not in the script. He ad-libbed it, along with several other lines in the movie. So, as far as Lillard goes, I know for a fact that he ad-libbed a lot. Kennedy probably did too, especially mm-hmm. being a comedian. But an honorable mention, Billy says to Sydney, "Violent movies don't create psychos. They only make psychos more creative."
Yeah.
That's just an intellectual comment that I really like. So that's honorable mention. But I have to go with favorite line. It's the one I just read. How about you?
My favorite... I mean, it's not really like a full line, but he's like... It's in the same area. Like, it's right after that. And he goes, "I think I'm actually dying, man." And just like... The way he, like, does it, it just, like, that whole scene really, like, you know, it's just hilarious.
Favorite scene, then. We're hopping to favorites because you're segueing unintentionally. So, what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is when Tatum's in the garage.
Actually. Okay.
I like the, it starts out with her nipples hard. And then ends with her, like, neck snapping and her hanging from the garage. Like the...
Which we found out she had hanging there for hours. But, yeah. Yes. Okay. I like that scene. As far as death-wise, that was probably the coolest one.
Mm-hmm. It was the most unique death scene. Yes. Like,
my only problem is that in no way in real life would ever be the way that. But that's okay. It's a movie. I get it. Like you said, it's definitely unique. So favorite death scene by far, that's my favorite. But favorite scene goes back to what you were just talking about. When it's nearing the end, Billy and Stu are telling Sidney why they are killing, like their motive or whatever, and how they're going to get away with it. Billy and Stu start stabbing each other. I don't know why. Like, I was just, I wasn't laughing, but I was kind of smiling, like, sadistically, you know, because there's something wrong with me. But then he says something similar to what you just said a minute ago. It's like, I think I've actually died, man, or something like that. But yeah, that's definitely my favorite part. Again, Matthew Lillard is just the standout, so that's probably part of it.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I mean, like I said, like, my favorite death in the movie, I think the most iconic scene in the movie, besides when Jamie Kennedy stands up and starts talking, like, balls of the movie and stuff, is when they start stabbing each other and explaining how they're going to get away with it. I think that, like, that probably stands out the most out of all everything.
If we ever start doing reenactments again, like we did, we dabbled in a little bit, we should do that one.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we could do it. Probably won't use as much many gallons of fake blood as we did, but you know.
It's funny that you mentioned how Skeet Ulrich like was so serious throughout the whole movie, because like you could tell, like, thinking about that, you can just tell, like, when he's like, you're gonna die, Sidney. Like, he just, like, gets real intense with it. And, like, even, like, when he, like, die, like, gets shot and he falls and he's like, kick. Like, he just, like, falls, and then Jamie's like, there's always that one last jump. And then he's like, like, this is how it was. It's just funny thinking about, like, how serious he took his role. And it was, like, not supposed to be too serious about it. Like,
it was supposed to be more along the lines of Lillard. But I think Wes Craven probably did that deliberately, not telling him that, because I think the two definitely worked well. If there was two Matthew Lillards, this would probably be more of a scary movie type movie. Scary movie as in the spoof. So I think it went well. And if there were two of the Skeet Ulrich, then you might as well just had Rob Zombie direct it, which, again, I would be fine with. Do you know, okay, real quick sidetrack. Do you know Rob Zombie's redoing the Monsters, I guess?
The what?
Or the Munsters.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So I can't wait to see that. It's going to be definitely different, because unless he's going to make it like his other movies.
Yeah.
But I think he's approaching it as just a remake of the Munsters, not changing it. I don't know. We'll see. Either way, I'm looking forward to that. So back to Scream, though. What about least favorite character?
Least favorite character, even though she's hot, Gail Weathers was like my least favorite. Oh, yeah. Like, as a character in the movie, not the actress at all. Just because it was like, you fucking bitch.
Okay, so the effect they wanted, you got. You didn't even come around to her at the end, or did you?
I did. I did. Yeah.
Well, that's the effect they wanted. So
yeah,
gotcha. Mine, just simply because, like I said, he was weird. Was the principal.
Yeah.
Like, there was no explanation to why he touched her face and why. The sheriff did kind of look like, the fuck?
Yeah, for a little
second.
Yes.
So maybe they were trying to make it seem like maybe he was Ghostface. I don't know. But then the comment, remember your principal loves you. That was just some weird shit. I don't know. But, so he's my least favorite character for just that reason alone. But I definitely can see why Gail Weathers was your least favorite, and probably many. So you're probably pretty happy when Nev punched her in the face then.
Yeah, that was also iconic as fuck.
Yeah.
I keep saying iconic, but it was like...
When you think of Scream, you think of those scenes, so I would say iconic would work there.
No pun intended, but the punchline was hilarious. And they harped in on it in the next scene when she's sitting there with the bunny rabbit, like, saying, like, oh, you really hit her, Sid. Like, you
got
her.
Yeah, with Rose. Okay, yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, I just thought it was pretty funny. Like,
well, that's you. Your opinion has, it seems like it stayed on the good side.
Oh, yeah, no, I still like the movie. It, like, Same thing with Josh's. Oh, sorry.
God bless you.
Same thing with Josh. I don't think he didn't like the movie. Mm-hmm. It just, because of Scary Movie, it like gets you off center. Because even in Rose's death scene, he goes, wait, that really happened in this movie? He goes, because even in a Scary Movie, they make fun of it. Like, yeah, like, who's actually going to try and climb through the garage, the doggy door? Like,
and then get stuck.
Mm-hmm. And I think in Scary Movie, the door's open.
I don't remember, to be honest. I think I've seen Scary Movie one time. But back to that scene. When she comes out, she opens the garage door. And it goes halfway up or whatever. Why didn't she come out and open the garage door? Was she trying to turn the light on?
Yeah, she was trying to turn the light on.
And why did the garage door only go halfway up?
Because she hit it twice.
Okay.
I do that, like, whenever we have parties at my house or whatever, and everybody's smoking in the garage. Okay. I'll hit it and let it go for a second and hit it again so it'll stop. But
and she did do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because when that happened, I was like, what? What's going on? That kind of threw me off for a split second, but then I saw her nipples again, and I forgot about it.
Yeah,
but we're terrible. Your acting is really good too, Rose.
Yeah, it is. I enjoy your acting.
She played the sidekick, the sidekick role pretty well.
Yeah, she's a breath of fresh air.
staying on the same scene. Another thing I found out, I didn't add my notes, but we're talking about her. I guess she has trouble screaming, or she can't scream or something. Like, not very vocal. So that was an issue for her. But, I mean, I felt the scream was all right, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember thinking, well, why isn't she screaming? So, and there was, again, that slip of mind as I was saying it, there was one other thing I wanted to bring up about that scene, but it's past, so.
The one thing that I can say, when everybody left to go see the principal's dead body and stuff, how did they not see her hanging from the garage door?
Well, they were drunk and they were just running to their car.
Yeah. It just, there was things like that. It's like, I get it when Matthew Lillard's like, I'll be right back. Like, he's the killer, so he's not going to come back. Like, hey, she's right, dead, right. My girl's dead. Like,
yeah.
You know, but that is one of the one things I always want to know. Like, who killed who out of the two? You know, like...
Yeah.
If it's a dual thing.
Well, that can only be left to the imagination, obviously. But there was only one scene that Skeet Aldrich was actually Ghostface. The rest of the movie, it was stuntmen. And then one scene, Wes Craven, I think, said he was there. But Skeet... asked specifically to be in one scene. I just can't remember which one it was. But when behind the scenes, the Ghostface, Matthew Lillard and Skeet were never actually Ghostface.
Yeah.
I know that's not what you were talking about. I just want to bring it up, so.
Yeah. It's an interesting movie, and it's definitely, like, you know, the first of its kind, in my opinion. Like,
oh, well, I think it reinvented what slashers are.
Yes.
I mean, because of technology and everything, it could be considered first of its kind. But there was, obviously, they bring up Halloween and all the other movies that came before it, so.
Yeah.
But it definitely reinvented, and I think I said it on the top 10, it set, in my opinion anyways, it set the precedent for what a slasher should be moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, one thing we didn't talk about is the score. Like, the music and everything. You slightly touched on it because you said that they can use, like, the Halloween music and stuff
mm-hmm.
for the scenes, which was very creative and good pickup also. I didn't see who did the score, but what did you... what is it? Marco Beltrami? Yeah. Beltrami? Music was composed by Marco Beltrami. Sounds better to say Trami. So, but I like the... I think it's the very opening, not opening scene, but when they first go to the school, they play like some serious, like, killer sounding music. It just, like, it's not the music that you would think, because they're going to the school, you would think, oh, it's happy, happy, or whatever, mm-hmm. but no, it's very fucking dun-dun. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. So I noticed that. And then there's also a, I wish I knew the name of the song. Have you watched the show Peaky Blinders on Netflix?
I might have.
It's about some gypsies over in
Europe. Yeah.
Okay. Their theme song, obviously Peaky Blinders was made long after this, but their theme song was used in Scream twice. It's the something Red Right Hand, like, but it's got like a very country-ish kind of vibe, and it was used twice. I just thought it actually went really well. That's the only reason I'm bringing it up, because it's out of place in any other movie, I think, but it worked the way they used it. So big ups to you, Mr. Beltrami, and anyone else that had to do with the score. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, I didn't really, you know, this was one of those movies where didn't stand out that much to me.
Yeah.
Like, obviously the Halloween music, like how I said that did. There was a part where it was playing music and she was like searching. So I think Sid was searching the house, and like she opens the closet and it makes the noise like, but there's nothing there. And it's like one of those things where it's like, back in the old days, when it makes that noise, something jumps out at you. And it didn't, so it was just like I laughed a little bit, like, okay.
Yeah, they definitely played with tropes and mm-hmm. stuff. They used some, and they also subverted some and whatnot, so.
Yeah, and I think that the movie itself, what was it, in 96? Like, think about this movie in 96, and you said 50 gallons of blood, pretty much, like.
Maple syrup, or not maple syrup, but whatever kind of syrup.
Corn syrup,
there you go, yeah.
With Billy red dye. Says it when he's like, he's like the same blood they poured on Carrie on prom night.
Yep.
Like, sure, it's just does. It's kind of funny, like, that, like, they pay homage to all these older movies. It's like, you know, it works. But, like, that's kind of Matthew Lillard's character. I mean, I guess it's Billy's character, too. Like, he's a movie buff or something, I don't know, but.
Yeah, they seem to all know a little bit about movies, and at least the men of the movie do.
And killers, like, when they were talking about, oh, no woman could have done this, like, when they're at the fountain and stuff. Which they're technically talking about themselves, like, yeah, I did that.
Yes.
Like, but I thought it was pretty cool, like, how they did everything.
Goes back to what I wish I could remember what I thought when I first watched it. Like, who did I think was the killer? Like, I don't remember, because I watched it back in 96, and I don't remember what I did yesterday, so let alone remember what I thought in 96.
But. I remember I thought it was Dewey.
You thought it was Dewey?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because there was a part where the
two sheriff, wows. One, that you remember that, and two, that you thought it was Dewey.
I just remember that because I remember, like, when I was watching this movie, when the head sheriff tells Dewey to stay close to Sydney, and I was just like,
okay.
Huh, ironic. Like,
okay.
You know, but. And, like, so when she runs from Billy and goes downstairs and opens the door and he's holding the mask. Like, I thought about how easy could that have been, like, for you to just take it off and just be standing there in your cop outfit, like, you know? Like,
yeah, that's true.
So that's why I thought it was Dewey.
I mean, well, that right there was they wanted the audience to think, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess good argument for Dewey. I'll tell you one that I didn't think. I know that I didn't think. It's Matthew Lillard.
Yeah.
I did not expect him to be part of that whole thing until probably later in the movie. I probably picked it up, but early on, I would have never been like, yeah, Matthew Lillard is part of this. And I also know, I don't think anybody originally thought there were two involved.
Yeah.
So.
I think they wanted you to believe that it was Billy, but only Billy. And then it's like, oh, surprise, Sydney.
Yep. Then they, like I said, they tried the diversion with the boots on the sheriff. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm curious how many people picked up on that too when they first watched it.
But that's what's good about movies. Like, you can do whatever you want, and people can speculate however they want. Only the person that created it knows exactly what.
Right. That's something that this movie did really well, I think. So.
Yeah.
Do you, watching it back, okay, so one of them, when we did our top 10, I put Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the remake, as my number one, and I stated, I haven't watched it in a very long time. I hope that it still holds up, but I'm standing my ground. Now, you've just watched Scream.
Mm-hmm.
You rated it number one on your top 10 slashers. Do you feel that it's still deserving a number one on your top 10? Or do you think your opinion might might change?
Well, it just depends on, like, the three movies that we're watching, mm-hmm. like Scream, the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Candyman, like, those three could be my top three. Like, you know, it's these are movies that I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Especially this movie. I just, like, it's so hard because it's so close. Like, Scary Movie did such a good job of making it almost exactly the same movie. Like, they had such an easy movie to write. They just had to make fun of each scene in that in Scream.
And yeah, they did. Well, at some point in time, we'll review that.
Mm-hmm. It'll be funny. But, yeah, I would say at least top three. Because I don't know. I feel like I really liked Candyman when I was growing up. So, Candyman might have to get bumped to number one.
Okay.
But we'll wait. I don't
know what you put it as. Did you put it as your number two?
Wasn't my number two.
Number two, okay.
I believe so.
I don't have that list in front of me. I kept.
Yeah.
It was your number two?
Yep. Scream, Candyman, okay. And Friday the 13th were my top three. So.
Gotcha. I think it was number nine on mine.
Yeah.
But.
No, it was number. Yeah, it was because number five. Was Child's Play.
Child's Play, and your number four was Child's Play.
Yeah.
And we ended up going with Candyman. Okay. So it holds up, but
yeah.
You may change it when you rewatch Candyman. Okay. That's fair enough. It doesn't drop off of your list. I guess that's more of what I was asking. Okay.
No.
I don't believe mine's gonna drop off my list either, but
yeah, it's still in my opinion, it's still a good movie. I mean, like, look at that top row of cast. Courtney Cox, Neve Campbell, David Arquette, Drew Barrymore, Matthew Lillard, and Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah.
And then you go with Jamie Kennedy and Rose McGowan. Yeah. It's like...
yep.
So... And then leave Shriver, which is Cotton. Like, that's such a small role in the first movie. And it's like, damn. So, yeah. We'll see.
All right. Well, is there anything else opinion-wise you want to say? Or do you want to get into the tropes?
I'd say we might as well get into the tropes. This movie is based on tropes.
We've been doing tropes all along.
Yeah, so should we do a trope section? I'm just kidding. Yeah, definitely.
I've got five, so we're doing it.
Trope, there it is.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. For instance, number one, you can never have sex.
All right, actor allusion. An actor allusion is the deliberate, yet typically rather isolated, throwaway references to previous works/roles of an actor in a work. The reference is unlikely to have much plot relevance and is unlikely to be anything but deliberate nod to the actor's previous work. So, I mentioned this earlier when I was talking about Henry Winkler. Scream's principal, played by Henry Winkler, searches his closet to see if anyone's hiding in there.
Mm-hmm.
When he does this, a leather jacket is seen hanging. Henry Winkler, who played the Fonz in Happy Days, is most known for wearing a leather jacket.
Mm-hmm.
So that leather jacket was there. That's the actor illusion. On top of that, he also fixes his hair in the mirror the same way the Fonz would. So that's called actor illusion. Bathroom stall overheard insults. That's the entire name of the trope. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Whether the...
Go ahead. I was going to say it's when Sydney's sitting in the bathroom stall and they're talking shit about her.
Well, she comes in. They're already in the stalls.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's whether the trash talkers are in the stalls and the person they're talking about walks in or vice versa. When this happens, you can go ahead and let the theater know.
Trope, there it is.
As you just said, one scene in Scream shows two cheerleaders taking dumps and figuratively shitting on Sydney when Sydney walks in and overhears it. Then she hides in the stall and they leave. So that's bathroom stall overheard insults. The commandments. This trope is a short list of simple rules that must be followed. In Scream, Randy lays out the rules to survive a horror movie. Oddly enough, all three of the rules that Randy gives are violated in Scream, and the violators still survive.
Mm-hmm.
So, this was done intentionally, I'm sure.
But yeah.
No sex. Sydney has sex. She still survives.
Virgins must die.
Yeah, that's the no sex thing.
Number two. What was number two? I forget what number two is. But then number three was, don't say I'll be back.
Yeah. So, and they say that quite a bit in this movie, actually. Yeah.
Well, the killer says it, but also Gale Weathers says it at one point in time, too. Damn, I knew I should have typed up what the middle one was, but that's called The Commandments. Okay. Everyone is suspect. Another one that's pretty self-explanatory. Anyone can be, well, whatever the movie needs them to be. Mm-hmm. In this instance, it's the killer. This is another trope that Randy directly makes reference to. When he's talking to Stu about who the killer could be, he says, there's a formula for it. A very simple formula. Everybody's a suspect. So whenever you hear everybody's a suspect.
Trope, there it is.
And then the last one I've got for this week is not with the safety on. Not with the safety on, you won't.
Yeah.
Similar to the trope when a character tries to fire a gun, but it has no bullets. Not with the safety on, you won't, occurs when a character is typically inexperienced with firearms, and when needed the most, they pull the trigger and nothing happens because the safety is still on. Gale Weathers does this when trying to save the day. Billy is aware, however, that the weapon's safety is on and takes it from her, knocking her down. She does, however, subvert that trope later.
Mm-hmm. When she got safety is on that time. Yeah.
So, that's called Not With the Safety On, You Won't.
Trope, there it is.
Yes, sir. So, the five tropes that I've given you guys this week. Real quick repeat. Actor illusion. Bathroom stall. Overheard insults. The commandments. Everybody is a suspect. Not with the safety on. As we've said, this is a trope movie. There are some tropes that were created because of this movie. This movie is a trope namer. So,
yeah.
Please let us know on Instagram some tropes that you saw. I don't know if people are doing that or not, but I really want to see if other people are paying attention and can point out tropes now.
Yeah.
So let us know. I'm giving you five, but there's plenty in this movie.
Yeah. This is literally a trope movie. Like, that's what I've been saying. I said one when we were off air. I'll leave that out in the open, and someone else maybe... You picked up on it, and you can message us, Two Bros in a Review, on Instagram. We'll get to that plug later, but you ready to do the Five Knives rating?
I am.
All right.
You had this higher on your list, so I'm going to start the rating. Okay?
All right.
And that's how we're going to do it from now on. Whoever has it higher on the list goes second.
All right.
Okay?
Sounds
good.
All
right, so you had it higher on yours. Only by one, though, because then I have it number two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But by the rules, you go first.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Let's start with acting. I've said it enough. I think all the actors did really good. Matthew Lillard stand out for me. I love you, Matt. I love me. I almost said I love you. I love me some Matthew Lillard, which he is going to be, I believe, at a fest convention type thing in February or March that's going to be very close to us. So I'm definitely going to that and seeing if I can get him on the podcast. If you're listening, go ahead and be ready for that. but hopefully you can come with me too, because it'd be pretty cool. But anyways, because of acting, I'm giving this a one for all actors across the board. They all did good. Could probably give it more, but... there's other categories I can give points in. So, one for acting from Nathan. The gore, I know it had to be toned down a little bit because of the rating or whatnot. I was pleased with the gore. I still would like a better explanation to how they gutted him so quick. And also, while we're on that, they never gutted any more after that.
Yeah.
It was only those two. But that's besides the point. I am going to give it 0.5 for gore. I think 50 gallons of blood. I could have seen a little more blood. I think there wasn't enough blood. But again, I know it's because of the rating. I'm gonna give it a 0.5 for that. So I'm at 1.5. Plot and story and all of that, very creative. Again, I loved how they took other past movies and incorporated them
even some like straight scenes watching the fucking movie on the television. I love how they did that. So I'm going to give it a 1.5 for story and plot and whatnot. So 1.5 plus 1.5, that's 3. Dialogue. I think the dialogue was all good, and that goes right back to paying homage to previous movies and whatnot. I don't think there was any bland dialogue whatsoever. The principal is the only thing. If I'm going to take points away, I would take points away for his comment. Or his principal loves the kids thing. That was so weird. So I'm going to give dialogue a 1. So we're at 4. And then I'm going to give it a 0.5 also just for what I consider changing the game. It changed what slashers are going to be. It set the new precedent. And I think it deserves something just for that. So I'm going to give it 0.5 for game changing. So that gives me a total score of 4.5 for stream.
All right. So I'm going to do it by casting for my first one. So, like I said, I'm not a big fan of Neve Campbell. And I think it might be, like you said, the bangs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the 90s, and she, you know, is younger Neve, and she was supposed to portray a teenager. And they did that to me. So, like, I'm not going to take points for Neve Campbell. But for the, I mean, I'm going to give it a 1. A 1 for casting. Because I think that everybody that was cast played their role perfectly. Maybe a little better than perfect. You know what I mean? Like, Matthew Lillard and the fact knowing now that Billy Loomis, like, was a fucking, like, was being serious the entire time and everybody else was fucking off pretty much. So, it gets a 1 for cast.
Okay.
For dialogue, you know, like, the just sheer, so everything in the movie is great. Like, there is so many punchlines. There is, like, they're talking about what our podcast talks about, the tropes, you know, like I can't not give it a 1 for dialogue because of that, because, like, you know, we have a whole section dedicated to tropes, so they're like, you know, 1, so that's 2. Back to cast, pretty much fan service. I'm gonna go ahead and give it a 0.5 because,
okay,
you know, Courtney Cox has always been one of those ones, like, even when she was on Friends, like, everybody was always about
Jennifer Aniston,
which I'm not against Jennifer Aniston, no. She is drop dead gorgeous, but I had always thought Courtney Cox was, like, the hot one on the show.
I 100% agree.
And then, like I said, Drew Barrymore, like, I don't know what it is about her, but, like, she's just, yeah, that's it. So it's gonna get a 0.5.
Don't forget about your girl, Rose McGowan.
Yeah, well, Rose, you know, she gets in there with the Neve Campbell or the Courtney Cox subject, where it's like, you know, like, people don't usually find her attractive, and I think she has, like, a weird attractiveness, like, that's kind of like Harley Quinn-ish, like, okay. I don't know, it makes sense.
I think I'm the only one that doesn't really think she's, I've heard a lot of people say that she's pretty hot, but
yeah,
either way, go on.
Yeah, so
0.5 for that. Yeah. So you're at 2.5, right?
Yeah, 2.5. So gore, knowing they use 50 gallons of blood or fake blood or whatever, and then seeing a little bit, like, it was like that when she was hanging from the tree, it wasn't like they focused in on it, it was just kind of like a flash,
mm-hmm.
in a way, you know, like, that kind of threw me off. Like, I knowing that he re-edited it so many times to make sure it stayed under the NTs, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of makes me wonder, like, maybe the part that we want to see, where, like, how they were able to gut them, maybe that's something they took out, you know?
Probably.
So,
probably.
Like,
oh.
But because of that, that's why it's only going to get a 0.5 for gore.
Okay, so you're at 3.
Yes.
Stay right there for a second, because I did just remember one thing that when he did the re-edits or whatever, they were insistent on changing something in that scene with Drew Barrymore when she was hanging or whatever, I believe. And he said that was the only take that he got of it or something. He basically lied, and they just overlooked it. I did find that he admitted that he lied about that. So I should have brought that up earlier and I forgot. So I just wanted to, he slid some shit in basically. Yeah.
So like that, that gives it a 0.5 for me for the gore.
Okay. So you're at 3 now.
Yeah. Solid 3. As far as the cinematography and everything, I feel like the way they filmed the movie, the Steadicam things, the random like camera above the TV facing the living room thing, I actually like that aspect of it. I like
creative, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, so I'm giving it a 1 just because it's just different. It's not what you would normally expect in a movie kind of thing. And then I'm going to give it a 0.5, same thing you said, for Game Changer. You know, like, okay. It's... So she's at a 4.5 for me.
4.5. This not being able to break the Richter scale thing is really getting hard. Like, because I'm literally leaving things out. Like, you brought up the cinematography and stuff, and I didn't even mention that.
Mm-hmm.
That should get points from me.
Yeah.
We gotta keep it under the Richter scale, so...
Yeah.
4.5 and a 4.5. If my math is right, that still puts her at 9.
Yeah.
So...
I told you it was going to get a little harder. Like, the ratings are going to be, like, a little more aggressive. Like, we're not going to give everybody 10s, you know, the more we kind of dull these things out. Like, this could easily be a 10. But,
yeah.
But it's like, I have to hold some points back for certain things. And, like, I'm just kind of trying to focus more on things. So that's why I'd give it 4.5 bloody knives.
4.5 bloody knives.
So, solid 9.
4.5 bloody knives from me as well. I've got Matthew Lillard's knives. You got Skeet Ulrich, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a 9. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Our first review for our top 10 slashers is Scream, and she comes away with a 9. So, good job, Wes Carpenter.
Yeah, good job.
Wes Craven is Wes Craven.
John Craven, we appreciate it. Oh, shit.
All right, well, that means that next week is either Candyman or Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2007.
I thought we said we were going to do Scream, Chainsaw Massacre, Candyman.
Okay, I couldn't remember if that was the order or not. So the next one up then, next Monday, which we got this one on time, so we're going to keep that ball rolling. We're going to have the next one on time too, Monday at noon. Will be Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2007 with my girl, Jessica Biel.
Let's go.
Let's fucking go. LFG.
But there might be some extra episodes in between, possibly, maybe.
There is supposed to be. If everything goes as planned, there will be a couple...
That's me knocking on wood.
Couple of bonus episodes with me and our other brother, Corey.
Yeah, I am literally leaving and... a few hours to go to West Virginia for the snowboarding trip.
And that's why we recorded this early.
Yeah.
So
by the time you're listening to this, I will already be home, pretty much. Or I'll be on my way home. But yeah, it's going to be like probably after the Texas Chainsaw Massacre's episode is when my KW Snow stuff on YouTube is going to drop.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just had to throw that out there now while I'm thinking about it because gotcha. I would have forgot.
But, I gotcha.
But if you enjoy the podcast that we are bringing to you, I'm sorry that sounds so, like, rehearsed, but if you enjoy this podcast that we bring to you every week, whether it's on time or late, we would appreciate it if you would go to Instagram, search 2 Bros in a Review, hit that follow button, and then go through and look at some of those movie posters and some other I did do a poll and not one person responded to it.
Oh,
asking about their favorite slasher.
That hurts. We got 100. We finally got to 100 followers.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's just no interactivity. We need some activity going on, guys.
It's all right. Not everybody looks at everything, but I would appreciate it on 2 Bros in a Review on Instagram if you would kind of interact a little bit, maybe comment on some of the pictures. We've got a couple of people commenting now, closer and closer. More people are liking the pictures and stuff, so it's to the point where it's just, you know, we just got to post more than what I have to post more than what I normally post. I gotta try to post twice a day at least. That's what that's gonna be my goal.
What you gonna post though?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe. Well, it'd be a lot easier if they would start, you know, mm-hmm. interacting. That would definitely be a lot easier. Especially now you got that Twitter going too.
Mm-hmm.
Also, two bros in a review.
Yeah. So it's real easy to get a hold of us.
Yep. Just please go over there and follow that and interact with us. That's what we need from you guys as far as the IG and the Twitter machine goes. Also, another way to support us that's free is listening. Obviously, you're doing that now, so we appreciate that. For those who don't know, let them know. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. All the places you can hear podcasts and music, you can check us out. So do that. It's free to do, and it supports us. It goes a long way, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one other thing that you can do that's free that supports us. Want to let them know what it is?
That going back to that Apple podcast that you just talked about, also Anchor.fm.
Yes. I
that is where we record.
Don't intentionally leave it out. But
yeah. Sorry about that. I had to make sure, but. If you go to the Apple Podcast, that's the purple icon with the white antenna with the little radio frequencies leaving it. Just type in Two Brothers in a Review. You'll find us on there. You know, just follow us. And I think it's follow or is it subscribe? I'm not sure which one that one is.
Follow, subscribe, do all the things.
Yes. Give us stars and tell us what you think about the podcast.
Yep. Let us know.
Tell us what we can do to make you more interested in the podcast on there if you want. You know, just, you know, whatever you want to do. That's the easiest way to do it. They're all free. We're not asking you to donate any money or anything like that. This is literally just us rambling on about movies that we're watching and educating ourselves and some listeners in the process. So.
Yeah. We enjoy doing this. We love horror movies. So yeah. That's why season two is the season of horror. So we enjoy doing this. It gives us a reason to get together as if being brothers wasn't enough reason. But we do still need the support to beat those algorithms. So obviously listening and giving us reviews and then also interacting with us on Two Bros and Review Instagram and Twitter goes a very, very long way, and we truly appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. We do indeed. Something else you can do, you can go on YouTube. We've got our brother and our brother from another mother, Corey and Tommy. They have TRD Network, which is Those Random Guys. They drop a new episode every Tuesday. Is that 3? I think that's when I start watching it.
But yeah, I think it's earlier in the day because it's normally on there when I get up.
Yeah. So every Tuesday they drop a new episode.
Probably.
Yeah. They do a lot, though. They don't just do their podcast. They do the video podcast. They do gaming. They do shorts.
Every Saturday they got the Smash Bros.
Yeah, they do TRG Eats. I mean, you can, the list goes on. I would definitely give them a subscription, like... And ring the bell.
Let me tell you, I don't even think they listen to us, but we still plug them every time because, you know, we support our brothers.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just kidding. They listen to us. So yeah, definitely go support them as well.
It's good
content, entertaining. So TRG Network, while you're on the YouTubes, slide on up to that search bar, type in High Society Productions, click on the image of me with my High Society hat, and then give me a good old subscribe. Watch my videos. Give them likes. You know, I haven't been putting much on there lately, but I will be getting back to that. Like I've said before, when I was putting in a lot of work and then, kind of just took a little break, but I'm going to get back on there. I promise. Got some things I got to get in order first and I'll be pumping out more content. But you can still subscribe now so that you'll be ready for it. And then, course, ring that bell like Kyle always says.
Yeah.
And then there's another place while you're on YouTube, just slide back up into that that search bar there, because you're gonna want to see some of the stuff that this man is about to tell you about.
Yeah. So while you're on the search bar, type in KW Snow. That is my YouTube channel for the snowboarding and the extracurricular activities we do during the snow season. Like I said earlier, we are leaving in a few hours to go to West Virginia. We've got a whole skit for the intro plan that we're going to do. We got Joe's going to be playing guitar for the skit and stuff. It's going to be pretty funny. And then you're also going to see us wipe out, land tricks, having a good time, drinking beer, all that fun stuff. So KW Snow, that video will probably be next Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure. But if you ring that bell, you'll definitely get the notification when that video goes up. So.
And you said that you're leaving in a couple hours. Let's be honest, you're probably going to hop on your Xbox and play some Sea of Thieves. They, if they want to see what Sea of Thieves playing is all about, we do have Twitches. Over on Twitch, you can find me at HSP Gameplay, as in High Society Productions Gameplay, but HSP Gameplay on Twitch. I don't have a set schedule. I try at least 2 days a week to do live streams. And then you've got yours.
I'm a Chef Boy RC.
Chef Boy RC.
Yep.
When he's not streaming, which he hasn't yet, but he's going to be. But when he's not streaming, he's got it set to show mine as well.
Yeah, so I also host his gameplay. So if him and I are playing live and you go on my channel, you can click on it and go to his channel pretty much and watch the live stream. So either way, you're going to be able to see us live stream. So if you have a Twitch, definitely get on there and watch, because we've been kind of figuring out some fun stuff to do that is, I mean, it's definitely been entertaining for me.
Yes.
Like, a lot of fun. Like, we've been teaching new players and all this weird stuff. It's been interesting, really.
Sea of Thieves is fun.
Megalodons, Kraken, Skellies, you name it. But if you want to know more, go to Twitch, HSP Gameplay, or Chef Boy RC.
All of these plugs are all things that you guys can do that truly support us, and they're all free. We're not asking you for any money, even though the plugs are killing our electric bill.
Mm-hmm. It's all free
99. Free 99. Don't let anybody tell you that nothing in life is free, because we're giving you several things, and all of them are greatly, greatly appreciated. I just can't say that enough.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it, and you know, we're doing this, we're recording this, it's like 2:00 in the morning right now, so if we do sound a little not excited, it's just because we're tired. Nathan just drove from Cincinnati just so he can hand over a hoodie, because his lovely wife, Erica, with Rich Lily Designs, made my roommate, Jordan, a hoodie, and he made a promise, and they kept it, so.
That's right. I mean, I needed to record a podcast anyway.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think the last couple of podcasts we've done over Zoom. Mm-hmm. So I think you guys deserve for us to get together, and we deserve to be together for a couple of these podcasts.
Yep. But as you said, Rich Lily Designs. If y'all need something made on a mm-hmm. shirt, a hoodie, a cup,
a lighter,
a tumbler, a lighter, a bookmark, you name it, and you want something custom, or you want something that you already have a design for, whatnot, just find Rich Lily Designs on Facebook. Right now, she's only on Facebook. We're going to get her some Shopify accounts and hopefully eventually just a straight website. You can go mm-hmm. to Rich Lily. But Rich Lily Designs, yep. She can do whatever you need, yep. And they are good prices. And like he said, we keep our word. If I'm going to hand deliver it, I'm going to hand deliver it.
If you can dream it, she can make it. You know what I mean? That's really all the plugs that I've got, man. It's the lights are dimming. All those plugs.
They are.
So that's really all that I have. Make sure you guys tune in every Monday at noon. That's, Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Anchor,
whatever. get on Instagram. So if we're late, we will make a post on Instagram for why we're late, or telling you when it's going to actually air. But that's all that I have for these baboons.
That's all I've got as well.
All right. Well, I'm Kyle Webb.
I'm his brother Nathan Webb.
And you just listened to our podcast,
Two Brothers and a Review.
Check you later. Ghostface. Who thought of that name?
it was actually something different. Did you, like, when they show the costume of the movie, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I forgot.
But, and it was originally going to be called Scary Movie. This part is supposed to be us just goofing off, but this turned into part of the review.
Jesus.